Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we pray now about a virtue which is fundamental, one of the four cardinal virtues, and so important to have that spiritual struggle that we prayed about in the first meditation, something constant, something that we persevere in until the end, and that is that virtue of fortitude, which in some sense we could define as willpower. But the Catechism gives a longer definition and description of it. Fortitude is the moral virtue that ensures firmness in difficulties and constancy in the pursuit of the good. It strengthens the resolve to resist temptations and to overcome obstacles in the moral life. The virtue of fortitude enables one to conquer fear, even fear of death, and to face trials and persecutions. It disposes one even to renounce and sacrifice his life in defense of a just cause. The Lord is my strength and my song, quoting Psalm 118. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Words of our Lord in John 16. It's that virtue that ensures firmness in difficulties and constancy in the pursuit of the good. And we have been praying about that great good, which is our relationship, Lord, with you. You who are love have loved us first. You gave your life for us. You want us to love you in return. And it's so easy to love someone who has loved us as much as you have. But to continue in that love, to grow in that love, to live a spiritual life, to keep up the spiritual struggle, is a classic example of this firmness in difficulties and constancy in the pursuit of the good. Strengthening the resolve to resist temptations and to overcome obstacles in the moral life. And that first aspect, to resist temptations, we are tempted, all of us. And it seems the devil is so cunning that the closer we get to God, the more he tempts us. And that is natural. He's losing us. He's losing us to the enemy, who is God. And so he tempts us. And he knows our weakness. Every one of us is different. We all have different weaknesses, and the devil knows what those are. With one, it's maybe just watching television too much, and another one is spending too much time looking in the mirror, or eating too much, or drinking too much alcohol, or gambling, or simply self-centeredness, whatever it is, the devil knows, and he goes there. And we need fortitude to resist the temptations. And in order to resist those temptations, Lord, you give us, through the apostles, the advice in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing enough, the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. We need fortitude, that willpower, but we need prayer too. Because willpower isn't enough. Sanctity is not about willpower. We need will. It's about grace. It's about love. But we do need willpower. And resisting temptations requires love. Because otherwise the person says, well, why should I keep on resisting these temptations? Why don't I just give in? And many people do. Many people do. People who maybe for a while did resist, and then they just give in. It's too hard. And we priests are seeing this. People that have simply given up. But at least when they come back to confession, they are showing their willingness. And they want to start over. And they're truly sorry. But often they let too much time pass between that fall, often in a mortal sin, and the next confession. We need this fortitude, this willpower to resist temptations and to overcome obstacles in the moral life. And we have considered those obstacles in the last meditation, but just reminding ourselves and using the terms that I like to use, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, everything outside of us, television, the internet, newspapers, people's conversations, jokes, way of life. The world, the flesh, everything inside of us, the effects of original sin. And on top of that, the devil. These are the obstacles in the moral life. But the virtue of fortitude enables one to conquer fear, even fear of death, and to face trials and persecutions. And the ultimate of fortitude is martyrdom. God willing, we won't have to endure that. But many Christians, Catholics, are being martyred at the present time. One of the countries where we need to pray for our fellow Christians is Syria. I have a friend whose wife is originally from Syria, and she gets word from her relatives there. And it seems that where President Assad, for all of his many faults, was at least somewhat tolerant of Christianity, the rebels who are engaging in war against his army are very hostile to Christians, and they're persecuting the Christians in their villages where there are a good number of Christians. And that is one country, and there are many more. And they may have to face persecution and even death. And we pray for them that they will have the fortitude somehow to stand up for their faith. Lord, you promised the apostles that they would encounter tribulations. We go to the Last Supper, St. John's Gospel, in the 15th chapter. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. And what does he mean by that? If you were of the world, if you were worldly, we're all in the world. We're of the world in that sense. But if we were worldly, if we engaged in the same sins that those other people do, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And we might find some ridicule, opposition, considering us old-fashioned occasionally. Normally, people don't say those things. They think them probably. They don't say them to our face, but sometimes they may. Then we should rejoice. And Lord, you go on to say, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all this they will do to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me. And this is the reality. They do not know God. And they don't feel comfortable with Christians who have a higher set of values and live a more clean life. They feel uncomfortable. We are a constant reminder that their way of life is not proper. And Lord, help us to continue living that life and have the fortitude to be constant in the pursuit of the good, because that very example that we give will help some to change their lives, will help some to realize they're not living as God wants and to go back to confession. And we won't know how many people we have affected for the good. We will know some of them, but we won't know all of them. Often, fortitude is defined as the moral virtue that helps us to overcome difficulties in the pursuit of a good. And the greatest good is holiness, the virtue or the good that unites us directly with God, already here on earth and afterwards in heaven. And it's a great good, and it's a difficult good, as we prayed in the first meditation. And we do need fortitude. It's so easy to give up in this, as in so many other areas. When we have, for example, the desire to learn a new skill, maybe it's just cooking a certain type of cuisine, maybe it's learning a language, maybe it's learning a musical instrument, some new skill that we don't find easy, and we begin with so much enthusiasm. And then we come to a point where we say, oh, it's too hard. We give up. Lord, we can't give up in our struggle for holiness, in our struggle for love, in our struggle to correspond to your love for us. And yes, it is a narrow gate, and it is an uphill struggle. But that's why we need this virtue, to continue to the end. He who perseveres until the end will be saved. Saint Jose Maria in Furo writes about fortitude. The Lord needs strong and courageous souls who refuse to come to terms with mediocrity, but will be able to enter all kinds of environments with a sure step. And this is not easy. A certain environment, certain workplaces where the language, the jokes are not proper to a Christian. We can stay there, we can be there, and we just make many acts of reparation. We show all the kindness to those people, no matter what their lifestyle. We care about them as human beings. How did your weekend go? How is your wife or your husband? I heard they were sick. How is your daughter? Or how is your partner? Maybe they're not living in a proper marriage relationship. But we care about them as people. To enter into all kinds of environments with a sure step and be the light of Christ to them. The only light shining perhaps in that particular workplace. Another point in Furo: a calm and balanced character and inflexible will, deep faith and an ardent piety, these are indispensable characteristics of a son of God. And then, the Lord can raise children of Abraham from the very stones, but we must make sure that the stone is not crumbly. For though hard rock may be shapeless, it is easier to hew good stone for building from it. Hard rock. We have to be firm, strong-willed. God can then use us as his apostles. We look at the 12 apostles, and in one sense they were weak. They all ran away in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they are the first ones to write about their own faithlessness, their own weakness, cowardice. But then they come back, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. They go out and they preach the faith boldly, and all but St. John will die as martyrs. And St. John was persecuted and suffered for the faith too. And that strength comes from God, comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from prayer. And St. John himself, writing in his first letter, says in the fourth chapter, "In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, for but perfect love casts out fear." And fear is what prevents us from going forward, but love drives out fear. And we see that when a father, will run into a burning building to rescue a child, will swim out into the ocean to try to save someone that they love. They will go beyond the boundaries of fear because there is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And love for God casts out the fear of the effort involved in our struggle, or the fear of what other ones might say. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And then we will grow in fortitude also through mortification, self-denial. St. Paul, writing as we read in the first letter to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter about athletes, disciplining themselves. We think of these Olympic athletes, how much they've given up, how much training they've done, and pushing themselves to the limit to be strong for those events in the Olympics. And we need to do the same in our spiritual life. Daily penance, daily self-denial. Lord, you invited us to do that. If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross and follow me. And that daily penance can be getting out of bed straight away in the morning, can be starting those jobs that we put off because we don't like them. It can be being pleasant to someone around us. Stay at the job that we have begun. Deny ourselves in food. We don't have to eat so much between meals. We don't have to put every seasoning that we like on the food. We don't have to put salt on things that need salt. We can eat it without that and offer up the little discomfort for our sins, for someone in our family, for someone that needs it. And all of these little penances help to build up willpower so that when the next battle comes, when the devil tempts us, we will resist those temptations. When we are tempted to give up in our spiritual struggle, we will keep on going because we have more grace, more willpower from that self-denial. And then always the sacraments, which give us grace, give us love to continue going, especially penance and the Eucharist. And then to struggle in all those things that we find difficult, simply to keep on praying every day, maybe to get to Mass. I was talking to someone on a retreat on the weekend, and at least one or two days, he has to get up at 4:30. He drives into the city, a drive of perhaps 30, 45 minutes, arrives at St. Mary's Cathedral, where they open the cathedral at 20 past 6. He does what remains of a half hour of prayer, which he started 5 minutes earlier, attends the 6:45 Mass, and then gets to his workplace at 7:20 or whatever. And he doesn't do this every day, but that is a sacrifice to love God, to grow in holiness. And he was telling me about some of his friends that he's helping to come closer to God. And very good people that if it weren't for this fellow, a married man with, I think it's 9 children, making all of that effort, those other people wouldn't be helped in the way that they are. Whatever we find difficult, whether it's doing the laundry, doing the ironing, folding the clothes, going shopping for food, not clothing, we all like to shop for that, but going shopping for food and toilet paper and other things, not our greatest form of entertainment, but whatever we find difficult, let's do that. Getting to bed on time at night, saying that rosary when we're tired, whatever it costs us, let us do it. This is the way we grow in fortitude and do the things that God wants us to do. And remember that holiness consists in the love of God, and all of the love of God consists in doing His will. He wants us to do that job, to stay at it, to finish it. He wants us to pray. He wants us to do that spiritual reading. He wants us to ring that friend and find out how she is, to visit that person in the nursing home. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, when she went to the States, saw in a nursing home that her spiritual daughters were running, all these elderly people staring at the door, and she could not understand what they were doing. And she asked one of her sisters, "Why are they all staring at the door?" And her sister said, "Because they have very few visits from their children, and they're just staring at the door, hoping maybe today my daughter, my son, will come." And Mother Teresa could not understand that lack of love on the part of children for their parents. Well, maybe we visit someone in the nursing home, we visit someone in the hospital, we write someone an email or a letter, and how much that is appreciated. It's going out of our way. We're exercising our will in something that we may find a little difficult. It helps us to grow in willpower, but above all, it helps us to do the will of God in that area. Lord, help us to do what St. Jose Maria wrote in his diary just a few years before he died. This is our destiny on earth, to struggle out of love until the last instant, Deo gratias, to struggle out of love until the last instant. And this requires fortitude, but as we do that struggle, we grow in fortitude too. And let us finish our prayer going to St. Paul, who spoke to us with that image of athletes disciplining themselves to win a perishable wreath. And he writes, at the very end of his life, he is in his second imprisonment in Rome. He knows his life is coming to an end, and he can look back on it with all of that joy when he writes, "I am on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That crown that he had said, writing to the Philippians, he had not yet achieved, but he pressed on for the goal. And now he can write at the end of his life, he has finished the race. He has fought the good fight. He has kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Lord, we want to die like that. To be able to say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." And we can look forward to the crown. And we ask Our Lady again, Mary, you were faithful until the end. You were assumed body and soul into heaven. You give us that good example, and you are our intercessor, that powerful intercessor, as our mother in heaven. Help us to grow in fortitude so that we too can keep up the fight, can finish the race, can obtain the prize, to enter into that room that Jesus has prepared for us in the Father's house. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.